coalition verte.
Est-ce que je peux utiliser le desk there, just to put things...
Oui, vous pouvez prendre place, monsieur. Je vais souligner la présence de M. Bouchard et de M. Hodert, dont je n'ai pas en mémoire les titres exacts. Mais en tout cas, c'est leur dossier. Merci d'être ici avec nous là, pour écouter les citoyens. Donc, M. Fletcher.
Thank you. I'll leave the brief to speak for itself, and I will address some additional commentary, some supplementary commentary to that, with respect to the intent of the city, with the direction of the city, with its views with respect to biodiversity conservation. At Bonn, Germany, in May of last year, as the leader of the Local Action for Biodiversity and part of the COP9 process, the mayor pronounced, "When talking about the future, we have to take into account the wishes and needs of our children, especially those expressed in the declaration of the International Bonn Youth Summit." In that declaration, the children challenged us, elected officials, to stop talking and finally make some decisions about the future, their future. Decisions that are not based solely on economic interest, but take into account the ecological challenges that we face on our way to sustainable development worldwide. The young people made it very clear that we talk too much and take too little action. These are the words of Gérald Tremblay 1 year ago. The Green Coalition agrees heartily with the youth making the case for results over promises. Talk is not action, and action in the minds of those who manage our affairs means money. More of our fiscal resources must be devoted at the municipal level to securing the last remaining biodiversity sites on our island that may soon be lost forever to development. This, and only this, will represent leadership on the local as well as on the world scene. I want to appeal to the heads of state and government that they stop spending money for things that are unsustainable. Not my words. This comment was directed by Mr. Tremblay at the superior levels of government, but the same must apply to all levels of municipal governments as well. When considering budgetary allocations, these are my words, especially the near term, Montreal must adopt and stringently apply a set of priorities that strongly favours biodiversity conservation over many other potential projects until the job is fully done. $29 million spent in a triennial, or less than $10 million per year, does not stack up high against a city budget of approximately $4 billion. In fact, it represents about 0.25% per annum. Hardly a burden, even if it were tripled or quadrupled. And such expenditures would not need in the very long term to be needed in the very long term, given that at this stage of our development history, there is not a huge number of sites left to choose from. And the investments, after all, have only to be made once. The city cannot say that more money is not available for further conservation while standing ready to input public monies. As one example, the defence of Formula One racing event that not only glorifies the internal combustion engine, but draws privileged, moneyed spectatorship from the far corners of the world, leaving behind them an unsustainable carbon footprint. The city has not been, is not, and must be more ambitiously and aggressively devoted to biodiversity conservation undertaking. Neither nationally nor globally do Montrealers, Quebecers and Canadians want to see this city lagging behind the pack. The capacity exists yet in the eco-terrace to do much more, and this should be job number one. And there are many sites outside the eco-territories and existing parks that remain available, but not for long. Finding pieces in existing parks to pad the numbers while laudable objectives can wait. They are not in danger, imminently in danger. If we are to believe the figures the public has been given in the working document of April 15th, then about 285 hectares is the real total of lands actually conserved in the Echo territories to date since the inception of the policy over 4 years ago. This represents an addition of about 6.6% against the 500 hectares that constitutes a full percentage point. We must remember that what the rest of the 430 hectares the city claims is still in negotiation and has not been actually acquired. It is important to consider this figure of 285 hectares against what was identified as woodland available according to the Atlas des Bois, published jointly by the CUM and the Environment Ministry in December 2001. The Atlas cited a figure of 1,600 hectares plus of treed sites of interest at that time. Against that benchmark, only 18% of what was available as forest has been protected up today, 7 years later. If we measure the 285 hectares against the original figure for areas of ecological value, we derive a mere 27% of what might be acquired or protected, and it's a little more than 50% of the 524 hectares that was set as the actual target in the policy, 50% of what was available. Clearly, there's room for much improvement. The policy set a qualifying benchmark for inclusion in conservation measures of 15 hectares. Since we have no listing or location of natural sites in existing parks, we have no way to determine if they fulfill this criterion. However, we feel it would stretch credulity to think that all of these exceed that standard. Sites outside the Echo territories or existing parks that are the equivalent in size to what has been conserved inside existing parks should be prioritized since they are in imminent danger of being lost. Some of these harbour indigenous species that are of patrimonial and ecological value, a case in point, given that the city has said that it is not allowing any more forests to fall. Is the site north of the Trans-Canada Highway between Merkfrost and Fairview? It is scheduled for development, and I know that that has trilliums, it has the wildflowers in the bottom, on the forest floor, it has animals and birds of significant importance. To secure world future, we need respect towards all kinds of living things, and we need justice in the distribution of available resources, said the mayor to his colleagues in Bonn. He was applying this critique to higher jurisdictions in Ottawa and Quebec City, but could, with introspection, have been looking at the workings of his own administration and budget. Are we ready, as individuals or collectively, to initiate changes in our actions and our mentalities? Are we ready to find new solutions? Are we ready to create continuing richness? Are we ready to distribute resources in a better way? Ask the mayor of his co-participants in Germany. Again, not my words, his. We must now return the question to the City of Montreal and the Tremblay administration. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Fletcher. Question from the member.
Mr. Fletcher, just you mentioned that we would, if let's suppose this commission were disposed to recommend to the executive committee that they throw a lot of money at this, and you said it would be required over a short term. Can you make a guess at how many dollars we're talking about here?
I would suggest that the amount that was abandoned in the moratorium of 1992, updated to modern values, would go a good way towards getting what we need to get done. That was $100 million unspent when Vera Daniluk in 1992 decided to abandon the spending program on the Nature Park Rizzo.
So about $250 million then?
In that neighborhood. Yeah. In that neighborhood. It would be money well spent. If we amortize that over the centuries that these lands will be available to the citizens of Montreal, it would be a pittance. If we had done what we had to do 20 years ago instead of falling to the decision that Vera Daniluk decided had to be taken, this would be over now and this meeting would not be happening.
It's never over.
Never over.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Well, I'm Figenbaum.
Merci. Sorry. I have a question based on point five of your brief. I think it's
yeah, just take a look.
You'll have to answer your question about the clarification. It is stated in the VLAN on page 7 that a total of 2,473 have been accorded protection status, and then on page 15 it states that the city is considering according formal protection status to certain existing parks. So you're basically unclear on whether the new existing parks are part of the 2,473?
Right. It's very unclear to us. At the information meeting on April the 15th, these figures were not available. We were unable to make anything of good sense of the 2,473 hectares, and we really are in the dark. We've come here tonight mostly in the dark, only with what we've been able to gather through our own intelligence.
It's not my position to ask, the chair's position to
ask. Oui, je vais reconnaître M. Hodder sur cette information, cette question. En régie, est-ce qu'on peut donner... c'est bien. Merci.
Alors, pour clarifier la situation, l'information qui a été présentée lors du dépôt du bilan présentait... a été mis sur le site Internet et toutes les cartes avec la localisation des sites qui ont été visés par la protection... It's okay, I'll do this in French. Alors, tous les sites ont été présentés sur le site Internet. Vous les avez tous et vous avez aussi, on a rajouté ça dans la présentation qui est maintenant sur Internet, les chiffres associés à chacune des acquisitions. Donc, vous avez un numéro avec une surface et tout ça est sur le site Internet depuis de maintenant, je pense, presque 2 semaines. Ça fait un petit bout de temps qu'on a placé ça dessus. Ce que je peux vous dire, c'est que ce qu'on a établi là, en termes de conservation dans les écoterritoires, c'est ça, on faisait référence à 285, c'est établi, puis un autre 145 hectares qui est en voie de ratification. Ça, c'est pas des peut-être. Parce qu'il faut comprendre qu'entre un accord pour la conservation puis la ratification chez le notaire, dans le processus actuel de vérification et de validation, il y a un délai d'à peu près 2 ans. Donc, on l'est quelque pour ces 145 hectares, on l'est quelque part dans ces 2 ans-là. Donc, il y a un délai, there's a lag, il y a important qui est associé à ça. Donc, on voulait quand même visibiliser ces éléments-là. Nous, on considère qu'on est un peu comme dans une campagne de financement pour un nouveau pavillon d'un hôpital où on essaye de chercher des engagements pour à ce projet-là. Donc, on a ajouté à ça les parcs existants qui ne bénéficiaient pas d'une protection auparavant, des grands parcs, qui ne bénéficiaient pas d'une protection qu'on a protégée, qu'on propose de mettre dans un répertoire, faut pas que je me trompe de terme, répertoire des milieux protégés, des milieux naturels protégés à Montréal. Ces territoires-là font partie de la protection. On pense que c'est quand même louable de pouvoir protéger certains parcs.
Merci, M. Hodder. Donc, l'information est sur Internet, là, ce qu'on comprend, mais les commissaires, effectivement, les mémoires qu'on a vues, les questions posées l'autre fois, on va travailler en complément. Est-ce qu'il y a d'autres questions des membres? Merci, M. Fletcher. Je vais inviter, là, je vais reconnaître Mme Olgemark, là, qui m'a demandé de dire quelques mots très brièvement. Merci infiniment, M. Fletcher.